All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grim... Well, no, it's Farmer Grimm's Drama Farm. And we're back with another episode. But this isn't going to be like what you think. There's a lot more I got to talk about. And I'm even going to go over some articles, so it's going to be like a second half of the Grim article show in some ways. I'm only going to run it for an hour, and then, of course, I'll be doing Grim Plays. But anyway, let's go ahead and, you know, get started. So basically, guys, the red pill just fucking went kaput today. Myron Gaines had an absolute fucking mental breakdown over the internet, and it's pretty much gone viral. It's absolutely insane. He pretty much called everybody a bunch of fat dorks that haven't been to the gym and talked about how he owns 20 rental properties and has all this extra income and he doesn't need the podcast and all this other crazy stuff. Just losing his mind, screaming, calling everybody, you know, motherfuckers, and you know, just losing his shit. I think he even broke the fucking glass. And of course, the other guy just looks at him and just looks at it and like, well, that was from the heart. That was really emotional. Like, he was speechless. And of course, dude's going through some shit where Dot is basically trying to get some money from him now that she knows that he's got money. And, yep. But yeah, the red pill is officially fucking dead as of this point. I was talking to Sirius, a while back, and he said that he was getting rid of a lot of his red pill content, like all of it. And it's because we're in a post-red pill area now. The red pill is pretty much done. Like, the stuff that we've learned from the red pill, you know, that doesn't go away. And a lot of that information did help us and maybe help some of you guys. But the red pill has now run its course, and it's now in this very toxic kind of community where people are eating their own, just like in Comicsgate and other communities. It is a really crazy situation right now, and of course, it's going to die down with the death of the red pill also. And it needs to happen. The red pill has been banging on for way too long. And of course, yeah, these young men need the red... No, they got the red pill. I said this years ago. These young men got the red pill. They're red pilled enough. They know. I can talk to guys that I work with. But still, even some of the guys that I work with, like, you can red pill them to death. They're still going to want the pussy. Like, they're still going to want the marriage and the kids. They still want that shit because they've been taught to want that shit. And they think that, hey, maybe it'll work out. And you know what? Maybe it will. That's the thing. Sometimes it does work out. And it's hard to say, oh yeah, well, this happened to this person and this person and this person. Because yeah, those things happen. Sometimes it doesn't. And, you know, that's the only thing I'm going to say regarding that. But, yeah, that's pretty much a death knell for the red pill. And I'm kind of glad. Again, it's ran its course. Now, am I going to get rid of all my red pill content? No, and there's a good reason for that. First of all, we've got hundreds of videos of red pill content. Now, I'm not sure what Sirius does, you know, what his job is and all that, but I don't have enough time in the day to sit and delete hundreds and hundreds of videos. You know, it just... I don't think it would be right to delete every single old rant show and every single, you know, just everything we've done, and you know, all the small little red pill articles that I did and the red pill movie. I mean, a lot of people said, well, what about red theater and red movies? What, do you want us to change it to fucking neon theater? We can. I can change it to neon theater and neon TV and a retro TV. Retro theater, retro, yeah, I mean, we don't have to be red pill anymore. We were just red pill in the beginning. And of course, there's still red pill in, like, you know, married with children and stuff like that. And I mean, we can still point that out. But it's not going to be something like, oh, you don't know. Or, you know, it's just, we've been around this stuff for a long time. So we can go and look at the episode and be like, oh, there was a, you know, an obvious red pill for you there and stuff like that. But again, we are kind of trying to shed that image. Because a lot of my content isn't what you would consider more or less red pill content by any means. There we go. Let's go a little bit back. There we go. You know, it just made sense that, let me make sure I'm even recording. I am. gotta check that. So it just makes sense to do something different, to change it up. I don't want to be known as, oh yeah, the guy that can't move on from Red Pill, because, like, trust me, I'm still talking to a lot of women, a lot of them. Like, I'm not marrying. That's one thing that's far from my mind is marriage. Like, a lot of people said, well, what about having a girlfriend? Would you have a girlfriend? I'd have a girlfriend, but I wouldn't get into marriage. That's one thing I absolutely just do not want. That's something I'm not interested in. And she'd also not have to be interested in it. I even wouldn't mind, you know, cohabitation temporarily. Like, I'm one of those, like, you have your place and I have mine, or can we work this shit out? And if we can't work this shit out, then we just leave amiably. And it's not like, okay, you know, you lose your shit or anything like that. And, like, you know, just a different kind of relationship. Because, you know, again, I've been talking to a lot of different women, and they don't really seem to be interested in much more than, you know, maybe getting together, talking, sex, stuff like that. And some of the women I talk to, you know, they even have, you know, boyfriends and stuff like that. Like my friend, she's going through a lot of shit right now with her diagnosis. I don't want to talk too much about what's going on with her, but she's got a lot of stuff going on, and it's really hard. Pain. Very, very severe pain. And that's just the tip of the iceberg for her. She's got so much going on. And, of course, you know, I've been talking to her, and then she mentioned, of course, that one of her exes is back there helping her and all that, and he had drug problems, but he went into the 28-day program, and he hasn't touched anything, and hasn't messed with anything in quite a while, so he's doing really good and trying to help her out. And, of course, you know, he's a recovering addict, so, you know, he's struggling. And I know a lot of friends of mine by now at this age are recovering addicts, a lot of them, because when a lot of them were young, a lot of these rocker girls and rebel girls and things, rebel guys too, it's not just girls, everybody wanted to rebel and go against the grain, got into a lot of hard drugs. It's just fucking what happened, just like your bands got into a lot of hard drugs, right? Even guys like what is his fucking name, Trent Reznor, got into that kind of stuff. Marilyn Manson got into that kind of, like, a lot of those people did. A lot of those people got into that kind of stuff, right? But as you get older, it's different. Because you either stop it now or it's going to kill you. It's one of those situations. Do you value life and being able to grow old? Or do you want to die young? Or die, you know, maybe not as old as you wanted to, right? I mean, they always say that growing old is kind of a privilege. And, yeah, it may very well be. So, that's the situation there. That's what's going on with a lot of people my age now that were rebels and crazy and stuff like that. And, you know, again, I hope that some of the people that I know from my past are getting off of it, you know. Because there's a lot of people I knew that were on it to some extent, or got on it later in life, and it messed them up. And of course, you know, like I said, I talked to several of them, right? So it's good to see people moving on and changing from that stuff, because again, it will kill you. It will kill you. That's That's one thing I can assure you. If you continue to do drugs like that, you will die. That will absolutely happen to you. Even you look at a guy like Al Jurgensen, who just, like, completely went full retard left in his, you know, current stuff he does with Ministry. He quit the shit because he knew he was going to die if he didn't. I mean, that's just what it was. I mean, even, you know, Lemmy Kilmister, before he died, he had to quit drinking. He was drinking a whole bottle of vodka a day, and that was just for breakfast, you know? So he was like, okay, yeah, I gotta quit. And some people say, well, Grim, you drink. I said, I drink so small of an amount that it wouldn't even matter. Like, if I was drinking an entire bottle of vodka a day or something like that, it's, you know. But I've got, like, a little bit of rum in this, I guess, this sugar-free Dr. Pepper. And it's not hardly any. It's maybe a shot or two. And that's it. Like, that's pretty much all I drink, and that's usually maybe once a week, if even that. I don't even think I drink once a week. I didn't drink last time or the time before that, so it's just whenever I feel like it. Like, oh yeah, I'll have a little, or, you know, it's not the monkey on my back, as you could say. If anything I'm addicted to, it would be, like, games. A lot of people say, well, video gaming is an addiction. Yeah, it can be. If you're forgetting to use the bathroom and forgetting to eat and forgetting, don't want to go to work. And now I'll admit, if a good game comes out, like, man, I do not want to fucking go to work. I'd rather play that game. But I think a lot of us have had that issue. But that doesn't mean I literally called in. No, I fucking went to work because the bills need to be paid. And, you know, that's your job. That's what you do. So I went to work. That's me. And social media, I cut out a lot of the crap, like a lot of the bullshit infighting, a lot of the incels and trad cells, trad cons, whatever the fuck. I got rid of a lot of those guys. So I'm not really seeing the issues anymore. You know, I got back on, you know, Facebook. It's what I was saying. I've been talking to my friends on there. And what's cool is I'm seeing a lot of people there that I actually fucking care about now that I've got rid of all the fucking memes and all the crazy shit like that. And I've been having a lot of conversations with different people because that's what I used to do with this program, with this platform. Talk to people. Like, actually, you know, call people. Like, voice messages and stuff like that. Like, we used to do that with this platform. It wasn't just, oh, post shit posts all day. You know. And it did get kind of stupid posting the women suck posts all the time. You know, oh, women suck this way, women suck that way. Then there's a lot of these sex posts. It's not that great. But when you can find, you know, there's people that you care about on there and talk with them about different things going on in their life. That's kind of cool, you know, especially musicians and different musicians that I've worked with over the years. I'm not going to talk about who because I don't want to connect myself to anybody. But yeah, there's quite a few musicians that I'm friends with still to this day. And that's pretty much all I'm going to say on that. But let's talk about what we need to talk about, because I can talk about more shit when I do Grim Plays in a few. So, the first thing we're going to talk about today has to do with AI. And this is a different AI. We're not talking about AI waifus. We're talking about something that's actually more near and dear to me. Yes, and even robot waifus, believe it or not. It's AI music. And if you guys didn't get to hear it, there was a AI-generated country song that we did for the Grim Articles show. Now, this was an older one I did. It wasn't necessarily, it didn't have all the information. Some of the other ones have way more information, and they mention me and DP and Empress, and it's actually done very well, because you gotta understand, the lyrics are AI-generated too, and it surprises me how well the lyrics are actually crafted. Like, some of these are really not bad. Like, I was impressed, and I've been writing lyrics since I was 16. No, before that. I've been writing lyrics since I was in maybe 7th, 8th grade. So I've been writing lyrics for a long, long, long time. You know, I've just, it's something I've always wanted to do. I love poetry and writing. And this program actually gives me the ability to bring some of those old lyrics back and have bands sing them. You know, AI-generated bands, but, I mean, this is Suno AI 3.0, so what's 4 and 5.0 going to be like? They're already getting power metal and thrash metal down very, very well, like, surprisingly well. And I'm talking about your Dragon Force-style epic power metal Sabaton style kind of stuff, because that's what I'm reminded of. There's choruses that have gotten stuck in my head, sung by AI. Yes, and this is somebody that reviews records for a living. So I don't, excuse me, reviewed records, not for a living, rather, but I reviewed records professionally. They didn't give me a living. Now, normally, in the old days, in the snail mail days, this was absolutely be for a living. And I had talked to a man long, long time ago who did that. And he said they made so much money off of reviewing these records that they would basically buy Coke with it. I mean, that's how much money they made. They would send these releases to him in the mail, you know, kind of like they did to me. But they would actually pay. And they paid a lot of money for these reviews. So they were making out like a bandit, and he said it's not even worth it doing it anymore. But I did it, you know, for 10 years. I pulled it out for 10 years, which is a lot longer than a lot of my peers did, because I don't even think there's too many websites, blog sites, anyone else still doing this shit as long as I have, as long as I did. I've seen guys bow out, and of course, you know, the guy I was working with, Trenches, he's big on YouTube now. So he's moved from the website to Trenches, to the, you know, the Metal Trenches YouTube, and that's very big, and I'm really, really proud of the guy for, like, continuing on with this kind of work, but in a new format that people actually interact with more. So he's all up to date on this stuff, man. It's really, really cool to see. And I've talked to him every once in a while. Yeah, I know he's a big YouTube guy now, but, I mean, look, we go back, okay? I remember when he was just a small page trying to do his thing like I was doing mine. And everybody's like, Grim, why don't you do... And I said, I don't want to compete. I don't want to compete with him or anything else. I want to have, you know, do my thing and let him do his thing. He wants to carry on the metal and promote the metal and do what the bands need him to do. I'm going to do what I want to do, which is more the adult games and the comic books and stuff like that. That's me. That's something I enjoy. I've always liked the adult games ever since I was a teenager, you know, and got into Bible Black and Discipline and all that kind of stuff. A lot of you guys don't know that I started out playing that stuff when I was a teenager. Like, I was exposed to Discipline at a very young age. So a lot of you guys be like, oh, that's why you're the way you are. Well, maybe it is. But it wasn't that hard to find the shit, you know. You'd throw up the torrent and you wait a little while, and there it was. And you're like, oh, cool, I get to play a CD-ROM version. I don't even think I had the cool mid like you guys hear now. Like, you know how it has like a better synth sound and all that, and you have the full voices? I don't even think I had that because my computer couldn't support it. It was 1998 or something. The game was still new, believe it or not. But alright, let's go ahead and get started with the music articles. So, alright. Got to go into my news section here. Okay, so the first thing we're going to talk about is... Alright, let me go through all these, because there's so many. We're not going to go through that. Alright, let's see, where we got? Okay. Alright, so first of all, we're going to talk about Brendan Small, you know, Death Clock, Metalocalypse. We're going to talk about him because he's got a really nice argument for AI. Okay, you notice I've been using AI a lot now. I'm using AI a lot in my thumbnails. I'm using AI in our intros, you know. AI will be used just a lot because I use it as a tool. I think it's a tool. And he does too. Def Clocks, Brendan Small weighs in on AI's impact on entertainment. I've played with AI with prompts and everything. It's just insane. In a recent interview with Nikki Black of San Francisco's 107.7 The Bone radio station, Brendan Small, best known for being the co-creator of the animated series Metalocalypse, delved into the looming impact of generative artificial intelligence on the future of entertainment. Small expressed concerns over the potential disruption AI could bring to various facets of the industry, including composition and storytelling. But it's not as bad as this writer would like to think. This is such a crazy time that we're talking, because a lot of people are kind of waiting to see what happens. A lot of people are waiting to see what happens with AI. Well, people have a job in the future. I'm talking to my compositor, we're talking about AI stuff, and we're going, oh my god, the things that we're doing, the things that we're rendering, all these little minuscule things can be solved with the prompts, and maybe this won't be a job anymore. The compositor that I'm working with is also teaching classes at UCLA on composting, that's a completely different subject. And he's wondering, what does the future look like? Small emphasized the necessity of human input in storytelling, highlighting the irreplaceable human essence of crafting a compelling narrative. But the truth is that I think you'll always need a person sitting there and sorting stuff out and getting your logic together and telling the story because nobody else knows. Even people get so granular and minuscule in the moment of what it is that they're creating that the bigger picture always has to come out. And if you're not telling a human story, then what's the point of anything? Small also touched upon the democratization of content creation facilitated by technological advancements such as high-quality smartphone cameras. While accessibility to production tools may increase, he raised pertinent questions about the discernible decline in quality across the mainstream releases. I think the truth is that things that looked like they cost millions of dollars to make are now going to be ready available. And the fact that readily available, and the fact that our iPhones have got really good cameras that really capture light well and everything, that's crazy. Basically, it's not going to cost a lot to make something. That's kind of the good news. But the question is, what's the quality? Because you look at movies now and you see movies that are dropping out, they're coming out, franchise movies, and you're wondering to yourself, is this a passion project? Is this somebody trying to second guess an audience? Is this someone dumbing down stuff because they think we're dumb? However, Small remained optimistic about the resilience of true artistic voices, asserting that passionate creators will continue to innovate and connect with audiences on a profound level, undeterred by the advent of AI. I really do believe there are artists out there with great voices. They're going to do what they're going to do no matter what. I believe that too, 120,000%. I argued this with a musician just a couple of fucking days ago. I said, AI is not going to deter real musicians who want to make music. Judas Priest is not going to be like, okay, so you've got an AI that can sound like us. But Rob Halford is going to be like, okay, that's cute, that's nice. But I don't think it can rip a record like we can. I don't think it's got the passion that we have. Now that's debatable, because again, I've had some really nice earworms. And it's been some really good, some metal songs. I've done metal songs. But I haven't heard Painkiller level. Like, I haven't heard anything that's really shaken my rafters yet. There is a wonderful Mega Man X song that was generated that I will have in my head for probably the rest of eternity. So that's pretty earth-shaking. But still, it's not as shaking as Electric Eye. It's not as earth-shaking as Painkiller. It's not that level. And I don't know if it ever will be that level. Because that's really rough. Like, we can do death metal, but can we do Eaton? Can we actually do Hatchet to the Head? Or, you know, some of these really classic songs. Can we actually get that? Can we do some of the hardcore country and the hardcore country? I mean, that exists, but some of the really great classic country songs. Can we do that? Now, I don't know, the Grim Lords podcast show sounded pretty damn good, and there's been some, you can do old Southern gospel, like you go way back country with this thing. So that's interesting. Of course, I don't want to put myself in a religious place. A lot of people might be like, okay, if you're, like, using religious lyrics about your show, that's kind of blasphemous a little. And I don't want to do that. That's not, I don't put myself in that kind of position. I'm okay with being the evil lord dictator of the universe, but God, no. I don't like that. So I'm really, really careful, you know, with what kind of things are generated, because I don't want anything like that generated. But yeah, I did a really awesome song about Mega Man Zero, which they use Zero for, and I did a really awesome song about Mega Man X. Again, these are generated, I just use a prompt. And just amazing, amazing fucking songs. I love them. I play them over and over again because they're really good. And just wait till 4.0 gets out. They can even sound better. It's crazy right now. But, he says, and they're going to tell stories and try to communicate with us. So I don't think AI is going to change any of that stuff. It may fool people and it may be dangerous for an election. AI can be dangerous for a lot of different reasons. But there are going to be things where, I mean, I've played with AI with prompts and everything, and it's just insane. So, yeah, it's rather interesting. But there's more to it. Let's see here. A couple days later... Sorry about this, guys. You know, I paused this game a lot because I was trying to figure out shit. Like, I'm reading walkthroughs or I'm watching somebody play something to figure out where I need to go. Sometimes I do that. Like, if a walkthrough doesn't help, I'll literally watch somebody, you know, like, okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. It's very helpful. Anyway, Ars Technica came out with an article here, and this is very new. April 2nd. So, it's on April 1st. Billie Eilish, Pearl Jam, and 200 artists say that AI poses an existential threat to their livelihoods. Artists say AI will set in motion a race to the bottom that would degrade the value of our work. On Tuesday, the Artists' Rights Alliance announced an open letter critical of AI signed by over 200 musical artists including Pearl Jam, Nicki Minaj, Billie Eilish, Stevie Wonder, oh wow, Elvis Costello, and the estate of Frank Sinatra. In the letter, the artist called on AI developers, tech companies, platforms, and digital music services to stop using AI to infringe upon and devalue the rights of human artists. A tweet from the ARA added that AI poses an existential threat to their art. Visual artists began protesting the advent of generative AI after the rise of the first mainstream AI image generators in 2022, rather, and considering that generative AI research has been undertaken for other forms of creative media, we've seen that protest extend to professionals in other domains like writers, actors, filmmakers, and now musicians. When used irresponsibly, AI poses enormous threats to our ability to protect our privacy, our identities, our music, and our livelihoods, the open letter states. It alleges that some of the biggest and most powerful companies unnamed in the letters are using the work of the letter, rather, are using the work of artists without permission to train AI models with the aim of replacing human artists with AI-created content. A list of musical artists that signed the ARA open letter against generative AI. So I'm trying to see anybody that you guys would recommend, that you guys would know. Let's see. Billie Eilish, of course. Billy Porter. Estate of Bob Marley. Cake? Really? You guys are that upset? You haven't had a song in... He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. No. I don't know, man. It's been a long time since you guys came out with that. Let's see here. I'm looking at some more. I'm going down the list. Chuck D. Oh, brah. You really upset about a fucking AI that's going to go in there and take 80s hip-hop? Which nobody black is listening to right now. I'm sorry. Look, you can give me shit if you want. I don't think anybody with a darker skin than mine is listening to classic 80s hip-hop right now. Starface? Dan Navarro? Let's see. I'm still looking, but I don't know some of these fucking people. Elvis Costello, of course. Some of these people I've never heard of. Estate of Frank Sinatra. Greta Van Fleet. I mean, damn, you already copied off of Leonard... not Leonard Skinner. The hell is the name of that damn band? I got the damn Led Zeppelin. They already copied off of Led Zeppelin. You worried that AI is going to rip you off some more? Hit Boy. Imagine Dragons. God forbid. They're already AI. Their music is fucking horrible. The thunder, the lightning, and the thunder. The thunder, the lightning, and the thunder. Dude, I bet I could get AI to write a better fucking chorus than Imagine Dragons. Ja Rule. Really? Ja Rule, he's really got something to fear. Let's see, we've got Jadakiss. John Bon Jovi. Brother, you haven't had a hit since Slippery When Wet. And it's my life, it's now or never. That song was like fucking 20 years ago, bruh. If anybody steals from John Bon Jovi, make a sequel to Slippery When Wet and show him what he should have been doing the past fucking 30 years. The Jonas Brothers. Man, I don't know. Y'all ain't been relevant in years. Julia Michaels. Kacey Musgraves. Okay. Well, I've heard some of her shit. And I tell you what, AI can probably beat it. Kate Hudson. Katy Perry. Oh, God forbid we rip off Katy Perry. Let's see what else we got here. I'm still looking. I don't see no metal bands. There is no Metallica here. I didn't see shit. Michelle Branch? Really?
If I could walk 10,000 miles.
No, that's not what it was.
I could walk 500 miles.
No, that's actually a better song. Fight me. Mumford and Sons. Miranda Lambert. Okay, well, that's... Let's see. Nicki Minaj. Oh my God. If AI rips her off, it might do it better. Norah Jones. Pearl Jam. Man, what if it makes Eddie Vedder legible? Like, you know what? We can audible. Like, we can actually understand what you're saying.
Oh no, we gotta stop it. Okay, they have to. It's gotta be mumbling.
Peter Frampton, really? You got anything to fear from that? Old Q-Tip. Who gives a shit about him? R.E.M. Man, they haven't had a hit since 1998. Robert Smith. Wow, The Cure. Guys, I'm sorry, but, I mean, what are you afraid of? That AI's gonna write a better song than you guys have since Blood Flowers? Yeah, I went there. See, he said, we're going to do a dark other side of our last record because the other one was so light. Dude, you told me you were going to do that 10 years ago. I've been waiting for that record. It's like, am I going to die or is that record going to come out first? It's fucking crazy. Maybe let AI write the other record that you fucking won't bring out. If you don't think it's good enough, let us be the judge. Sheryl Crow. Lady, I haven't heard anything good from you since I Wanna Soak Up the Sun. And she actually looked good now. I don't know what she looks like. I mean, she actually looked good back then, but I don't know what she looks like now. Some people might say, oh, she's still good. Smokey Robinson. God forbid somebody takes his voice. Steve Lynn Morris agrees on behalf of himself and Stevie Wonder. T-Rex. Tech 9. Tech Nine, brother, you worried about somebody making a better rap than you? I don't know. And that's all of them. That's all of them that I know. Most of these damn people are Mexican. No, I ain't lying to you. Most of the people on this list are Mexican. Hispanic, Mexican. I know somebody's going to be, Grim, not every Hispanic person is Mexican. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. There's a lot of Hispanic names here on the list. Most of them seem to be Hispanic. Are they worried about Mexico? Just or not just Mexico, but Hispanic countries basically making a lot of AI-generated Spanish music? Because they're going to do it anyway. Anyway, we previously covered AI music generators that seem fairly primitive through 2022 and 2023, such as Refusion, Google's Music LM, and Stability AI's Stable Audio. We've also covered open source musical voice cloning technology that's used to make parodies online. So, the artists are basically afraid that it's going to destroy the quality. Oh, wow. Hey, there's a server that somebody's posting music in right now. I think I need to post my Mega Man X song in there real quick. Yeah, why not, huh? Since other people are posting in there, I need to go ahead and post in there too. Why not, right? I don't even know. No, that's... I don't even know where that was. I honestly don't know. Wow. I don't know where he posted that. Oh, here we go. Oh my god. You know what's funny? This guy just posted something. The one that I was talking to? Or the one that I was talking about here? And the one that posted in here? It just happened to be about Mega Man X also. Yeah, that's weird. That's actually freaky. Because the song that I posted about Mega Man X, this guy, the song that he just posted was about Mega Man X. That's pretty fucking crazy, guys. That's not what I expected. Yeah, completely derailing the whole show, but yeah, that was kind of cool, I'll say. Cool shit. Let's see. But, yeah, so AI music is a thing. People are generating the shit out of music. If you want to generate your music, you can. It costs you $10 a month with Suno AI. That's what I'm using, and they can do a lot of different styles. Basically, it's very easy. You just say, hey, I want a 70s disco song about, let's see, about Shantae, right? And basically the AI will go in there, get information about Shantae, and it will make a fucking 70s disco stew flavored track about Shantae's adventures, and it might actually be better than you think, because it will get the information from the internet, and it will understand who Shantae is, and it will make the song. It really put chills on the back of my spine when I was doing a song about only typing in the word Mega Man X. You know, not a whole lot of information was given there. I just wrote a song like, write a power thrash song about how awesome Mega Man X is and how much of a hero he is. And it literally added the thing about fighting evil robots. And I was like, oh shit. So it actually was able to find the information on Mega Man X and create a song based on him, on the data of him fighting robots. Because, you know, you give an AI that doesn't have that information, it doesn't know who Mega Man X is. It's like, I don't know what Mega Man is. But it can go on the internet now and it can find the information. So that's really fucking cool. Again, you do have some flags or certain things you can't do. Fat people. You can do fat people, but you have to be careful. You can't do trans people too much. It just depends on what it would be. You know, it is kind of progressive, woke, whatever. But it's not super progressive and woke yet. So there are a few things you can still get by with. Now, when Google comes out with theirs, it's going to be censored to fuck, but it'll sound great. So I don't know what kind of shit you'll be able to do with that, but I am really enjoying Suno. And, you know, it's only $10 a month. You get 500 songs. And, of course, you can string them together. Now, the only issue we have with Suno right now is that Suno choruses, you know, like a song will have the same chorus, which is your hook, that's your earworm, right? It can't do that yet. It can't do the same chorus. And when I say lyrics, yeah, it'll give you the same lyrics of the chorus, but it won't give you the same flow. It'll give you a different style of chorus every time. So that is a problem because, you know, standard songs usually don't have a different chorus every time. It's usually always, you know, he's the painkiller. It's not going to be, he's the painkiller. You know, it's, he's the painkiller. You know, instead of, he's the painkiller. And then it's like, he's a painkiller. You know, like, see, it does it every time. It'll do it differently. It can't do the same style over and over. That's a problem. That's why it's best to maybe just stick with the little 1 minute or so clips that it gives you. Because then at least you know you'll generate one chorus that's pretty cool. And it's really good for intros, you know, because intros are usually a minute or so. But they seem to be seeds and samples at best, and of course this is new technology. So there's a lot of additions that are going to come to it, and of course there's going to be a lot of artists that are kind of shitting their pants right now, for the most part. But again, I don't think artists have anything to fear from this technology. I really don't. Just like I don't think the visual artists, you know, to move away from musical artists, the visual artists had anything to fear from AI art, because there's some good AI art, great AI art, amazing AI art, but there's still people drawing characters. Like, people are still making regular art. Like, it hasn't stopped. There's still people making art. There's not so much, here's your little waifu anymore, which is good, because there's so many people that were trying to make a buck off of drawing somebody's waifu and blah, 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 right? Now, they can get an AI to do it. However, you still have people that put their own touches on things that AI can't do yet. And I don't know if it ever will be. That's something that may not happen. Because you have certain styles that only certain people have. And, you know, that's one thing that I think is going to continue to remain. You always have, like, okay, well, that's going to be in this style and that style, or this is my personal touch on it. And it'll always be that. It'll always have that momentum going for it, which is great. So I don't think we necessarily have anything to fear from the generative AI, music or art, and movies too. Even though I'm really upset about the Brightburn sequel being completely canceled, and I did remark, okay, that's fine, somebody will make it in AI. And they absolutely will. They will be making that in AI. Somebody's going to bring about, maybe not called Brightburn, but something with a dark, evil DC universe will probably be created in AI. Around as Critical Drinker said, 2027. I still believe 2027 is that year. I think 2027 is the year that Suno hits, and all, it's not Suno, Sora gets really popular. Sora gets to the point where it can make movies. And by that time, Suno's making CD-quality fucking music. Now, I'm gonna be honest with you. Some of the shit I've heard, even one of the songs that was generated and got a lot of hits called Asylum, it's like a new metal track, I could hear some digitization in the voice. It's not all there yet. It's getting there, but it's not there. It's almost like Stable Diffusion 3.0, you know, where we're on like 5 or 6 or SDXL or whatever they're calling it now. It's still like SD, it's still SD 3.0 for me. It's still like not there, but oh, that's cool. So we know how advanced this shit will get because I've seen how some of my early stuff that I did for the thumbnails went from, oh, that's kind of cool to, oh, hey, that looks really good. So it's going to take a little while. And I think it's going to be awesome. Because, of course, I do plan on plugging in my own lyrics and hopefully getting some bands to sing songs that I wrote personally in the style that I had them set to be written in. Because one thing about me when I wrote songs is I always wrote songs in different styles. Like, this one's a power thrash song. This one is a song maybe more Mudvayne style, you know? Maybe this one's more like Rammstein. This is more like Slipknot. This is more like, you know, Insane Clown Posse even. I did write some songs like that. This is more black metal. This is a death metal song. This is a doom metal song. This is more, you know, epic power metal. This is folk metal. There's so many different styles of metal and rock that I've written different songs in. This is parody. This is more southern rock. This is southern metal. Just a lot of really good stuff that I was listening to that was providing inspiration for stuff that I had written around that time. And it would be great to hear that sung in the styles that I had personally written it for. Because, you know, bands, they don't necessarily want to buy your lyrics. But it's cool that I'll actually be able to get the songs in some level where I could hear what they would have sounded like if a band had decided to take me up on the offer and buy the lyrics and actually, you know, put it to use. Because it wasn't about the money so much. It was more about I wanted some bands to actually, you know, take the lyrics that I had written and do a song about it or different styles. I've written full arcs of different songs and just all kinds of crazy shit. And it would be wonderful to hear that done in the style that I had, again, planned to do it in. There's full albums, complete full albums I've written over the years. And again, I know exactly how each song was supposed to sound. So getting them right will be awesome. But at any rate, I don't really have that much else to talk about as far as the AI situation. Basically, all you need to know is that Brendan Small, he's not worried about it. And thinks things will be like a tool. I talked to another guy. He's pretty popular on YouTube reviewing things, and he does a lot of reactions, you know, people seem to like that, and he promotes, and he has a podcast show where he talks and interviews bands and stuff, and he says it's just a tool like any other. And, you know, I let him listen to one of the Suno things that I had made, which is, you know, generate me a new metal song about how AI is taking over and how it's bad. And they made a very strong, very powerful, I liked it, new metal song. And I shared it to this guy who knows a lot about the new metal. You know, he loves that kind of stuff. He grew up with that. And he's listening to it and he's like, this is really good. This is good. But again, he's not like, oh no, this is the end. He's like, okay, so this is just going to be a thing. This is something that artists can use and maybe, you know, help to maybe form a song, right? Like, okay, hey, I like what they did there. I like what they did here. It just kind of, it helps you. It's like an artist will look at an AI art picture and be like, okay, see, I love these examples. Now let me go ahead and put this to digital paper, as you, if you will, and draw it. And, you know, do my work. So that's really cool. Again, I think AI is more of a tool to help us, and I think we need to understand that. I don't think it's meant to just destroy everything and take away everybody's jobs and destroy creativity. And a lot of people are like, well, yeah, but this is supposed to make our lives easier and all that. It's like, okay, look, so what do you want the government to do? Get AI so you don't have to do anything? I mean, like, how are you going to pay your bills? I mean, if there's no jobs or anything for you to do, how are you going to pay your bills, right? Because people are like, oh, I want AI to do my job. I want AI to, like, because they're basically saying they want AI to do their manual job, their labor job, the job they don't like. Yes, but that job is pretty much how you get food on your table. So, you know, you probably don't want that to be taken over by an AI, because if it was, you'd be pretty screwed, wouldn't you? I think you would be. So, at any rate, guys, this is the Grim Lord, and I will see you guys next time on Farmer Grimm's Drama Farm when we got more drama to farm. See you next time.